or President Reagan, during whose administration the project started. Perhaps, most importantly, many members of Congress, especially new ones, now feel it necessary to show their fiscal prudence by voting against something. The Super Collider represents 0.43 of a percent of the federal budget, but it has become a convenient political symbol. The most persistent note in the Super Collider debate was an expressed concern with priorities. This is a serious issue. Seeing some of our fellow citizens ill-fed and ill-housed, it is never easy to spend money on other matters. But some members of Congress recognize that in the long run, what our society gains from the support of basic science outweighs any immediate good that could be done with these funds. On the other side, many members of Congress who vigorously question the priority of spending for the Super Collider regularly vote for other projects that are far less worthwhile. Other large projects like the space station have survived this year, less because of their intrinsic value than because so many constituents or members of Congress have an economic stake in these programs. Perhaps if the Super Collider had cost twice as much and created twice as many jobs, it would have fared better. Opponents of the Super Collider also made much of charges of mismanagement and runaway costs. In fact, there was no mismanagement at the Super Collider, and almost all cost increases have been due to delays in government funding. I said as much when I testified before the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee in August 1993. The best answer to these charges was the statement in August by Secretary of Energy O'Leary that after spending 20% of the total project cost, the Super Collider is now 20% complete. Some members of Congress have argued that, although the Super Collider is scientifically valuable, we just can't afford it right now. But whenever we start a project of this size, there is bound to be some time during the years it takes to complete the project when the economy will be bad. What should we do? Keep starting large projects only to terminate them whenever there is a downturn in the economy? Now that we are writing off the $2 billion and 10,000 man-years already invested in the Super Collider, what scientists or foreign governments would want to participate in any such project in the future, when it might be cancelled whenever the economy is bad again? Certainly any program should be reconsidered if changes in science or technology warranted. Indeed, it was the high-energy physicists who took the lead in cancelling Isabel, the last big accelerator project, when changes in physics goals made that appropriate. But there has been no change in the reasons for building the Super Collider. With the cancellation of the Super Collider program now, after all the work done on it, because the budget is tight this year, the United States seems permanently to be saying goodbye to any hope of ever having a responsible program of research in elementary particle physics.